Process is Practice, Reimagining the Lost Hardwick Mural is an exhibition by artist Kayla Austin. You can visit the Tube Factory Art Space to view the show from now until December 17th. Here's an excerpt from an audio recording of Kayla sharing her process of creating these works. This project is made possible by a grant from the U.S. Institute of Museum and Library Services.
Last year in February, the project kind of came to a boiling point with the development of the new Community Justice Campus. And we found out last February that they were going to build the new morgue, the new coroner's facility on John Hardwick's family property. And the where the prisoners work at is going to, mm-hmm. was going to be in the back, mm-hmm. Which I just felt was far too symbolic to put on the colored troops during their 150th year. So we met with the city. The city came out to the neighborhood and gave their presentation on the morgue property. And I mean, within 3 days, it was canceled. Now that property has been turned over to Indy Parks for redevelopment, which is a really phenomenal. The Hardwick property, even if it was just John Hardwick's house, would have been a phenomenal space. Mm-hmm. A good story to tell in that space, but it is also a Lenape, a Delaware Indian orchard forest, right? Mm-hmm. The big four railroads that make us the crossroads of America cross on the property. Mm-hmm. So there are all of these layers of story on the southeast side that really tell the city as more of a patchwork, as a quilt, right? There are all these different parts and you stitch them together, and that is how you get the story of Indianapolis. It is not a monolith. Getting this story told in the city has been a little bit difficult. We do have some great partners. We're partnered with Indiana Landmarks, of course, helping us with heritage preservation, figuring out how we can put in historic districts and prepare buildings and do things like that. We partnered with Digital Indy from the Indianapolis Public Library, which is helping us store the archive as we build it. So helping us scan it and give it a public repository so these stories can be accessible for future generations. I've been working with Capra Institute, trying to figure out what land looks like down here. But really where we have a lot of pull is on the national level. The story of Norwood and the story of the Southeast Side and the colored troops captures so much of Black history in the United States, right? If these people are getting here in 1839, these are small settlements. These are farmers, right? And you can track the neighborhoods. So you can go pre-Civil War, through the Civil War, through the Reconstruction period, you know, through World War One, and the archives are immaculate. They've never moved, right? I have everything my grandmother ever owned in this house. And through that, we've been able to reconstruct and hit almost every major point in Black history in a 2 mile square neighborhood.
Right.
So we've been able to pull in organizations like the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History Culture to help us with kind of a more broad scale digitization program, because some of it's out of Digital Indy's capacity, because there's a lot of videos and a lot of audio and trying to figure out what to do with all of those. We have started the process of getting on the National Park Service, African American Civil Rights Network, which will provide the neighborhoods with resources to do repairs and to advocate for themselves on the national level. And when we recently have started a partnership with the Trust for Public Lands, which will come in and help us purchase back big swatches of land to redevelop.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And so with this kind of help from the national bodies, we've been able to pull these resources back down to Indianapolis in a way that helps all of us. With the Smithsonian, all of the documents that are scanned in Indianapolis when they come to visit us next year will immediately be added into the National Archives and the Library of Congress, right? Which Wonderful. Will make Black Indianapolis searchable for the first time. It will digitize us. So that will pull in more researchers and more whatever comes out of it. Some very cool stuff. And then we also recently got a grant through the Our Town program with the National Endowment for the Arts to build a Black Heritage Trail for the city of Indianapolis that will integrate all of these histories through the South Side, but through the rest of the city into a public format where the descendants, where the people get to decide how the story of their neighborhood is told. And I think it's going to be a pretty spectacular project once it gets out there. Been working with the family and the neighbors to figure out how they want to integrate this story into the park, right? So from its very beginning, they're like, what if we make our park into a living history museum, right? And you have to hand pump your water, right? And you have to like have a little station where they can hand wash their clothes through the little ring, or like a Black Connor Prairie, I guess. And so reimagining this mural became part of that, this kind of planning process. How do we reimagine the park and the park space, especially with its new proximity to the jail, which, you know, is largely lower class Black and brown people in there, right? Right. And so how do we create a space that we can see ourselves in? And I think the Hardrick mural is a great example. So before, the foundry that he worked in would have been over in Babe Denny, but Norwood, because of its proximity to the railroad, because of its proximity to the coal refinery, was an industrial neighborhood, right? They were working class. They were foundry men.
Yeah.
So to put this mural up there in the park, hopefully we'll see what happens. gives another opportunity for them to see themselves. And, you know, for me to see myself in the place that I've always lived.